Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and we're here to talk about The Halls, which is part of Start Strong Boston, which is a program of the Boston Public Health Commission. And I'm joined today by my colleague, Abby Sims. Hi, Abby.
Hello.
And I'm joined also by Jess Alder. Jess is a program manager of the Start Strong initiative at the Boston Public Health Commission, the Division of Violence Prevention. Hello, Jess.
Hello.
So, Jess, we have featured The Halls as an example of prevention efforts on a number of our web conferences, and so today we're here to do it on a podcast. Why don't you go ahead and tell us more about what The Halls is?
Definitely, yeah. We were one of the fundees of the Engaging Men and Boys Act, which kind of aimed to start conversations around the role of masculinity in preventing any sort of violence. And so obviously we were tasked with a pretty big topic. So it was only natural for us to want to run focus groups to kind of narrow down how we would start these conversations around masculinity. We involved our young people in this process from start to finish. Our young people, along with an adult staff member, ran the focus groups with young men and boys, young fathers. We had one group of young mothers to discuss what masculinity means to them. The teens went through and they noticed five salient themes that were present in all of the conversations: consent, homophobia, identity, support, and young fatherhood. So obviously, all of these issues and topics are pretty heavily ingrained in society. And our teens actually suggested, well, why don't we do a web series? I mean, they're always watching TV. They're always watching these shows that really promote these unhealthy behaviors. And they said, why don't we just show what we want to see and what we're talking about? And so we created an RFP, and our young people selected their top three. And with the help of the production team, we were able to create an amazing story. All of the filming was held at local high schools, and it's been really fun. So that's the birth of The Halls.
It's really important when we do prevention efforts with young people, not only to be informed and do things, like you said, focus groups from the beginning, but to keep them involved throughout. And it sounds like you really did that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge tenet of Start Strong is positive youth development. So our young people, every step of the way, they make it happen. And it's really great because, one, they're far more candid than adults are, so they can really just kind of cut to the chase. And two, they think of the work that we do very differently, but in a very good way. And actually, a good example is the script. The teens would just make edits and say, no one actually says this. Who says groovy? Like, we don't use those terms. They just tore it apart, and it was beautiful. And it was a tremendous amount of editing. I think just the script writing process took a little over 3 months.
So to do something that was so youth-led and youth-informed really did take time, as you said, and that's essential. Sometimes we don't give ourselves the time. Sometimes we don't allow for that process, but you did that.
That's actually something that we talk a lot about. Start Strong leads a train the trainer that we offer twice a year to kind of provide, one, our curriculum to youth serving agencies, but also to kind of share the youth development framework that we apply at Start Strong. And there's obviously pros and cons, especially when it comes to the time commitment, but it yields a stronger product in the end. So it takes time, but ultimately, I don't think it would have been anywhere as great as it is had the teams not been involved every step of the way.
Where did these meetings happen? What was your structure and what was outreach like and their system or how young people got involved, things like that?
So our program is a high school peer leadership program, and we have around 25 paid high school educators. So they basically find out about the position word of mouth. But again, our young people are involved in the creation of the application that the teens fill out. They lead the interviews and they kind of share which teens they think would be a good fit in continuing this work. Once they join us during the summer, we run a 6-week intensive training where they become young experts in the field of dating violence prevention and healthy relationship promotion, as well as learning the various oppressions that intersect with violence, with a heavy emphasis on gender and racism. And then we approach it all through a media lens, during the school years when the teens train other youth about healthy relationships and teen dating violence prevention. And they meet with us twice a week during the school year to continue their training and to participate in our creations. For example, the halls. And then they go out into the community where they teach a select core of middle school students about the work that we do. So that's when we deliver our 14-week curriculum. So they're already here from 3:30 to 6, and then that's when we would meet with the rest of the adults at the commission to plan this.
I actually worked on Start Strong when it was administered by Robert Johnson, Start Strong LA. And I know
Nice.
We talked a lot about working with young people, and I really do like that model of compensating young people for their time. It was always amazing to me, like, if I'm paid to be in that room, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have two colleagues, we're all being paid to be there, and we're expecting a level of commitment and kind of professional conduct or whatever. Like, it didn't make sense to me that you wouldn't distribute those resources. And I don't know what kind of socioeconomic status of the youth is. I'm sure it's varied, but sometimes young people can't participate in something simply because they can't afford to. And that helps kind of level the playing field a bit.
Yeah. I think what's really neat about our program is that we do have the opportunity to pay them, but it is hard because we pay them minimum wage. And during the school year, they work 9 hours a week. And the teens really love what they do. They're very diverse. They're all teens of color, half identifying as males, half identifying as females. We have a number of students that identify under the queer umbrella. And in terms of their ethnic background, they're from all over. Some are from the Caribbean, Africa, Asia. So it's really a nice, healthy mix of people that provide really great and different lenses that we value.
Jess, that's great. And it sounds like with the focus on engaging men and boys that was something that kind of came up organically.
Yeah, absolutely. When we first started this project, we had no idea that we were going to create a web series. But once we realized just how rich the content was and how large the task is of changing these gender norms, that's when we realized that a PSA would just kind of almost be insulting to this whole process. So, yeah, it was definitely organic. It definitely took us by surprise, but we were super pleased about it.
Well, and the best programs are the ones that do take us by surprise because, you know, that demonstrates that's a need and we're not the one driving it. It's really coming from the community and coming from the folks with whom we're working.
And actually, that's a good point because our young people, when we were having these conversations, we would have to kind of remind them that they've had an opportunity to learn, at least have a foundational knowledge about these issues and challenges. So they kind of encouraged us to create a vlog or some sort of discussion guide so that if anyone anywhere wanted to watch the halls and wanted to have conversations, they would know what to do because obviously these are very strongly ingrained issues. They're really difficult to unpack, and they can be scary to unpack, especially if you're not trained in having those conversations. So our teens created vlogs, which can also be seen at thehallsboston.com. So if you click on resources, you can look at a number of videos of our teens unpacking the themes within each episode. And we also have a discussion guide that has questions and also has activities. But what I think makes it stand out and makes it very user-friendly is we list takeaways that we want the facilitator to ask after each question and anticipated challenges that they can think about before going in to lead these questions or activities.
That's amazing. That's so helpful. I know that sometimes people get kind of dropped a curriculum, and if you don't have that pre-existing knowledge or some level of capacity, it's really hard to respond to just spontaneous questions as they come up. I have a question about engaging men and your process and how you kind of have approached this work, and correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like that you, in the work of engaging, it sounds like you have a strong representation in the planning of these projects of women and girls. You said about half of your leadership group identifies women.
Mm-hmm. Correct,
and
yeah.
I wanted to talk about what you found the value of that could be. I know that sometimes programs mean male-only spaces. And if that's like a necessary part of engaging men and boys or how you see your model working.
So yeah, so our program's pretty much 50-50. We have tried entering men-identified only spaces, so like boy groups that go on within the city, and that's actually been really challenging. A lot of the boy groups that are offered already have a very tight schedule, and also sports are involved, so it's usually like maybe some chatting and then they go and play some games. I know MVP does some really great work where they start conversations with young men and then they kind of integrate it into the athletic field. So that's been challenging and something that we're definitely aiming to do more of, but as of yet, we definitely have mixed gendered groups for these conversations.
We've been talking with Jess Alder from Start Strong Boston, part of the Boston Public Health Commission. And Jess, what can you tell our listeners about the program, about how they can learn more and things like that?
So if they want to check out the halls, again, you can visit thehallsboston.com. And there you'll see all of our episodes. It's about 8 episodes total. They're all 10 minutes apiece, and if you run them back to back to back, it's about a 90-minute feature-length film, which, fun fact, was actually shown at the Roxbury Film Festival. If you have any questions about it, you can always contact me. My email is jalder, A-L-D-E-R, at bphc.org, which is Boston Public Health Commission, bphc.org, or you can call me, 617-534-3446, and I'm definitely able to help answer any questions or walk you through the process of the halls. And we definitely encourage folks that might work in middle schools or high schools, community centers, even colleges and universities that aim to do work with high school students to check out the halls and start those conversations. While this is geared towards high school students, a lot of adults show a tremendous amount of interest. So it's made for everybody, but we'd really like young people to be a part of the conversations. So.
Wonderful. And I think that interest is just a reflection of the thirst that people have these days for, you know, comprehensive, strong prevention efforts and programs. And so thank you so much for sharing yours with us today. And we look forward to watching the halls progress.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.ORG.